It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
All righty. Hour number two. I'm Dave, that's Jay, 916-339-1140, so you can text us, go to YouTube and search KHDK and subscribe and save. Subscribe and save. Does it mean I'm old when I know that today I'm expecting in the mail, you know those mortar and pestles?
No.
You know, it's like a, looks like a granite bowl on legs, and you got this pestle that grinds things in it. Spices.
You mean to do, like, witchcraft?
No, like, you probably, if you've been to a Mexican restaurant, like a nicer one, you, they might serve guacamole in it.
Did you buy this while you were out there and had
no,
to ship to
the
house?
No, I bought it. No, I did the tourist
this
thing.
This is from Amazon. I'm so
it is
angry.
From Amazon.
Oh, God.
It's called a molcajete. We had a dish there called molcajete mixto. Basically a mix of stuff. Uh-huh. You chicken and shrimp. And, anyway.
You buy it from the restaurant?
We bought the dish. I mean, not the dish. We bought the food. But then I saw the dish was served, and I said, we got to do this at home.
And you found one on Amazon.
Found one on Amazon.
Shh, find anything on Amazon.
Yeah, you can. There's nothing wrong with that. Coming up at 7:30. Stories from the last week, and not just, hey, this is my... This was the most, I will say this, this is the most interesting vacation I've ever had.
It was intense.
We were almost intense. Literally, almost intense. And by the way, the hurricane was just one of many things, and then we're going to bring all that back to what's going on here in Sacramento and how you can help and how we can get involved. What else? Ben Simmons at 8:05.
We're going to be talking about him. He's not joining the show.
No, he's not joining the show, but speaking of joining the show, coming up here fairly soon. We haven't said anything on the air about this. We have to be careful, but just want you to know we are constantly working for ye because you are nice enough to give us your time and listen. Despite our lack of talent and ability to speak clearly, we are very close. And Jay's the assistant program director, so he knows far more than I do. But we're very close to announcing our fall roster on this station and on this show specifically.
Quarterback battle, all that.
All of that stuff. We have had our own version of Hard Knocks. We have made cuts. We have drafted. We will have some new faces. We'll have some familiar faces. But I think you're going to very much enjoy our fall coverage,
yes.
Specifically having to do with a specific NFL team.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
It is very fair to say, number one. Number two, I hope we can roll that out next week. Uh-huh. I will be talking to the program director.
Oh, Jason Ross, the boss.
That guy.
By the way, are we having that meeting today? Because it wasn't okay. Real quick, from the 916, you guys still suck.
Thank you.
But I'm glad you're back on the radio because whoever you had on there before sucked worse than you guys do. Hey, thanks.
That's our goal is to suck less than the other guy.
Right, suck less than the competition or whoever's filling in for you.
The idea is not to be the best, it's just not to be the worst.
That is a wonderful saying. By the way, Andrew Yang, former presidential candidate, tweeted out yesterday, he thinks Ben Simmons of Sacramento makes sense. Does that be...
Sold!
The Yang...
Give me the blue hat!
The Yang Kang's gang?
I'm with it.
Okay. Soundgarden. Right?
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
You're in this role right now as you're trying to go out there each and every day and just make great throws when you're presented an opportunity to drop back and throw against our ones. So he's got to do that. You know, don't go to a different mode, which I know he's not going to. Continue to get better every single day. You can work on all your fundamentals. You can do everything you need to do and always stay prepared, which I think is, again, a positive and an attribute. One of his greatest strengths is preparation. So he'll just continue to do that. And then when he's out there in practice, just make – he does not like running the cards. And so we got to continue to help him understand that you can grow in that role.
We need to have a bookie on speed dial because I would love to know what the over-under is on Justin Fields' games started this year for the Bears.
If I were to plug it in at 8, would you 8.5? Would you take the over or under?
I think I'd take the under. Not that I don't think Justin Fields will start, and obviously I can't predict injuries, but my guess is they'll give Andy Dalton a few games.
And so you would take the under then at 8.5 if they're giving Andy a few?
Well, Andy would have to come out and go like 0-4, 0-5.
I guess my question with that is how short is Andy Dalton's leash? Because he's on a leash.
You would think so. I mean, he has been named the starter. But, woof.
But has he been named the finisher?
Yeah, that's...
Ah!
All right, Soundgarden, gotcha. Number two, more football.
Soundgarden.
We haven't heard anything relative to the opening game. Obviously, we'll have a plan B. You know, there are a lot of other things probably from a priority standpoint that are more important for our city. That all being said, we fully anticipate starting the regular season with Green Bay, and then the question would be where that game's at.
Sean Payton and the Saints, not knowing where they're going to play. You just feel so bad for New Orleans. It's like every freaking time they've got to deal with this. We love New Orleans, speaking of travel. We try to go there as often as we can. COVID has cut that off, but we tried to go there once a year. It is such a wonderful city filled with wonderful people, and obviously the history, the food, blah, blah, blah. But last time we were there was a year ago, February, so about a year and a half ago. They're still recovering from Katrina. Like, yeah. there are still businesses that haven't reopened. I guess recovering, I don't know. I mean, there's just people that were displaced that had to move permanently, restaurants that closed permanently. They're still recovering from that.
That's 15 years ago, by the way.
Right.
Folks. 15 or 16, somewhere in there.
And it seems like every single year, if not every other year, there's some crazy weather situation. And obviously, the fact that the Saints may not be able to play at home is like number 1 billion on the list of priorities there. I get it. But there is something to be said about a sense of normalcy and people wanting to escape for a few hours and just watch some football.
Well, I don't think it's the normalcy so much as the big concern is, hey, can we get power back on? With everything going on in the city right now? I mean, the city is essentially without power. They don't know how long that's going to take. Then when you factor in that, along with staffing for the, you know, Superdome, that it just seems like a monumental ask.
Right.
For everything that city has gone through. So it sounds like they will probably play week two and three, they're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But week one, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, just kind of reading up about this, that they end up playing in like one of, you know, the Dallas area, they're saying, is whether that's at SMU. I don't think they can play at AT&T for week one. But there will be a venue for them. Sure. I just don't think it'll be the Superdome week one.
And that's
unfortunate.
You know, the major power whatever that runs the whole city fell into the ocean or river, one of the two. And they're saying weeks for
that's
some areas.
I mean.
Weeks until they get power back.
It's just not, I just don't think it's feasible for them to play there right now. And like you said, it's extremely unfortunate, but pales in comparison to everything actually happening in the city right now.
One of the rare times somebody on the YouTube chat comes up with a great idea. Thank you, Gil. I say we do a fantasy football league. First place gets to co-host one show. Last gets to get a CMD tattoo.
Oh, my God.
Here's I might actually do that.
I'm in.
If last place agrees to get a Carmichael Dave tattoo.
Do hosts count, though? Because I'm not getting a call.
No, you and I, no.
Because I'll leave the chat. I have no problem with that.
But no, I don't want to even make, no, leave the chat. I don't care about that.
That might be the move.
If everybody agrees that last place gets a tattoo outside of you and me, we might do a fantasy league. I would do that.
Yeah, and I believe first place can come in and host for a day.
That's fine.
You have to be COVID tested.
Yeah, you
got to
be tested.
Yeah.
You got to stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Soundgarden.
Thumbs down for me means adversity. The adversity we have gone through in this whole time, like the negative things, we overcome it. So it's like, you know, it's we did it. We went over it. However, it was wrong, and I apologize to whoever I offended. It was not my intent to offend people. I can't go against the fans. I've never done it in my career. We play for the fans, like Javi said. Javi said we play for the fans, and he's 100% right. For our teammates, for the front office, for our families, for the city. So with that being said, like I said, I apologize. And it didn't look good on our part.
Francisco
you
Lindor.
You think?
I don't have a fully formed take on this. But boy, this caught my eye really, really largely while I was gone. I want to talk about it. Maybe we'll get into that in the little halftime segment. We need more time. How much time do we have left here? 2 minutes?
About a minute.
Okay. I'm not entirely sure I needed those players to apologize.
I didn't.
I'm not entirely sure I disagree with what they did.
That apology spoke to me as they both got a talking to.
The Mets put out a statement. Sandy Alderson put out the statement. By the way, the guy that constructed the team.
That was not Lindor and Baez like having some sort of awkward coming to Jesus moment. Like, wow, that was just mean what we did to the fans by giving them the bird.
This is a very,
thumbs down, I should say.
This is a very surface conversation that I think has extreme, extreme nuances.
A lot of layers to this.
Because haven't we, for the last few years, had a lot of conversations about players and their right to express their feelings? Mm-hmm. Haven't we had a lot of conversations about shut up and blank? Yeah. Now, important separation. We're talking about players being booed as opposed to real serious social issues. And sure. We recognize the difference there. And haven't we also had a lot of conversation about expressing yourself, the way fans and players treat each other, mental health amongst athletes? But now we're saying players can't express themselves back to the fans. Again, obviously, if a player is saying F you to the fans, that's a different story. Player can't thumbs down fans who freely boo them and call them names. And the response is, well, that's who pays their paycheck. I understand that. But okay. But where was that when players were doing other things that upset fans who pay their paycheck that might cancel their season tickets? It's nuanced. It's different levels. But I need to understand the line between you can express yourself to except until here.
Right.
So I'm fascinated by this conversation. I'm really fascinated by this conversation. We'll get into this later. We'll take a break now.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, three for madness. Yeah, did you think we'd be gone and not address the Jake Paul Tyron Woodley dance? I'm not calling it a fight. We'll get back to Urban Meyer's comments on vaccination and how that affects roster cuts. Is Kyle Shanahan really going to do the thing?
You mean the thing with the two guys?
Yeah.
Two guys and a quarterback.
I'll get that. Well, that's a good video. We'll talk about that next.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
Three for madness. Coming up at 7:35. We'll talk about while we were gone. Everything that went down.
Or up.
Bring it all back here. Or up. Jay Mars and his Sacramento Kings. By the way, this is actually the official Summer League champ shirt. Came while I was gone.
Got the swoosh on the arm, so you know it's real. Yeah. Other arm. There you go.
But the one that I got that was the knockoff actually looks like the ones they were wearing on the floor. They never wore this one on the floor. It's got the logo and everything.
I haven't decided whether or not I want to go there
and
sport that. I'm still up in the air on that one.
Just adding it to my collection of dumb Kings things, which
I don't even have to say. If you say Kings things, it's implied it's dumb.
I will soon be sporting, as soon as it gets here in the mail, a hat that has the Kings logo and Bugs Bunny on it. Couldn't resist that. Of course, needed to do that.
Is it like a Space Jam theme?
That's exactly what it is. Jay Mars, fresh off mini vacation.
Hey.
Question number one.
Jake Paul defeated Tyron Woodley while we were gone. Is this good for boxing, and is it good for MMA?
Well, let's start with this fiasco. Listen, Tyron Woodley, had a habit of not pulling the trigger when he was an MMA fighter. But in my humble opinion, this was what we call a work. Tyron Woodley had Jake Paul literally through the ropes at one point in the fight. And I'm not one of those people that thinks Jake Paul can't box. Yes, he can. He can. But Tyron Woodley could have knocked his rear end out. And there are a million plus reasons why he didn't. So it was a spectacle, not a fight. But my answer to this might surprise you. Is it good for boxing? Is it good for MMA? The answer is yes to both. Yeah, you're old heads that have covered both sports for a long time are generally going to disagree. But here's the bottom line. While you were, or should I say before you were watching this spectacle that was Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley, you were also watching a lot of up-and-coming fighters, legitimate fighters, that were getting paid quite a bit of money. And, oh, by the way, a massive, massive showcase for them. It's bringing interest to boxing, and I'm a huge fan of that. On top of that, Tyron Woodley got paid more for that fight than he ever got paid under the UFC, ever. And it doesn't even, we don't even know what his pay-per-view cut is yet.
Right.
And Tyron Woodley's a former UFC champion. So, for me, any pressure you can put on the monopoly that is the UFC, and I know there's other mixed martial arts companies, but there isn't. The UFC is the Band-Aid, is the Kleenex, is the name brand of mixed martial arts, and they have an effective monopoly, basically. The more pressure you put on Dana White and friends to pay these fighters more money, the better off the entire sport is, in my opinion.
If it turns that MMA fighters are going to start looking at these big paydays in boxing for these, you know, circus fights, then I agree with you. If that can turn a corner in MMA where pay goes up, because I feel like the UFC, outside of its like tippy-top fighters, those guys are grossly underpaid. Grossly underpaid. Now, is it good for boxing? I don't think so, because I don't see how this will translate to the rest of the sport other than, hey, look at these circus fights. Like, I don't see a Woodley-Paul fight driving up interest in the next Canelo fight, so to speak. So, for me, it's good for MMA under the pretenses you put out there. It was good for Tyron Woodley's bank account. Mm. It was good for Jake Paul's bank account. Mm-hmm. I just think it makes boxing look bad.
You know where this is all heading, right?
To hell.
No, I mean, I'm far from the first person to say this, but September 1st, 2021... This is all, in my opinion, there will be other things that come off of this waterfall. This is all heading one inevitable place. It's going to be an event. It's going to involve Jake Paul. It's going to be one of the most lucrative fight events in fight sport history, whether it's boxing or mixed martial arts. It's going to be one of the most viewed events in history.
Sure.
And Jake Paul and his opponent are probably each going to make nine figures plus. This is all heading towards.
Is that opponent a boxer or an MMA fighter, though?
This is all heading towards the absolute inevitable conclusion, or at least event, when Jake Paul and Conor McGregor have a boxing match. It is one, unless one of them dies, I'm being serious. That's the only thing that's going to stop this.
Will that be the biggest payday in Conor's career?
No, well... That's, Floyd was.
That's what I mean. Floyd was a huge
This
payday.
Probably will, actually, because Conor will take, whereas Floyd took the lion's share or a little bit more than Conor will get more than Jake Paul out of this, at least pay-per-view-wise, etc. But the idea that both of them, and that will actually be a fight, and I think Conor would smash him. And by the way, Conor's given up a lot of weight and a lot of reach.
As long as Conor actually tries, he will.
Conor's not going in there to get beat by a former Disney Channel star.
Unless the money's right.
Well, that's a great point.
Question two.
All righty, then. Urban Meyer said cuts were decided in part by vaccination status. Is that okay?
Yeah. Let's not get political on this. Whatever your stance is on vaccinations, let's save that talk for another day. When you have football coaches that have, based on the protocols the NFL have put in place, especially for starters, it is incredibly difficult. If you've got two guys vying for the same spot that are anywhere close in skill, you're going to go for the guy who's vaccinated because you have less of a chance, not a zero chance. Less of a chance of that guy missing on Sundays. That's it. It's 53 players, man. It's not 503.
I completely agree with you in that sense. I am okay with him doing it. I didn't like that he put it out there in the media. We talked about it a little earlier this morning. It's just you're creating unnecessary headaches. We know these internal conversations are going on with coaching staffs and front offices. Mm-hmm. Like when you're getting down to player 50, 51, 52, 53, that vaccination status will matter because a lot of times those guys are similar in skill set.
Why don't you like that he put it out there?
Because it just creates unnecessary issues with the players union. Mm-hmm. You don't need to put it out there.
I think and you and I disagree here. I think it's necessary. I want to put it out more. I want the issue with the players union. I want the conversation. This is important. It's not just the NFL. I want every conversation. I want to see every story where somebody has been denied the opportunity to play in the NFL, to go to a concert, to go to a ball game. I want those stories out there.
I agree with you in spirit. Yes. I really do, because I'm with you. I don't care about that. I'm looking at more from the business standpoint. Sure. I think it was a mistake. But yes, in spirit, I'm with you.
Number three.
Question three.
All right, the question we've all been wanting to know, Carmichael Dave, is Kyle Shanahan really going to play two quarterbacks on any sort of a consistent basis?
Dude, 1,000,000,000% he's going to. Of course he's going to. This is Kyle Shanahan. He's been waiting for Trey Lance his whole freaking life. And now he has the opportunity to go with a Garoppolo look. And then, oh my God, second down, third down, you bring in Lance or vice versa. You have completely different looks. Defenses have to prepare for completely different situations, and they don't know when those situations are coming. You've only got 30 seconds in between plays. That's not a lot of time for personnel coming in and out. The fun Kyle Shanahan's going to have and the advantage he's going to play, knowing that he can bring in all kinds of different looks, the Niners are going to be an absolute nightmare to prepare for, and I am here for it. And when you're talking about, I'm trying to think of things that are nightmares to prepare for. I will tell you, one of the things that's the biggest nightmare to prepare for is doing a refinance on your home. Let me tell you something. Normally, when you're doing a refi in your home, you have everything together and all this stuff, and you got to have this and that. Oh, it's crazy. And they need blood type and hair type and all that. Oh, wait. Then I met my guy Shelby. And I did my refinance because I heard about him on KHDK, of course. And it wasn't a nightmare. It was a dream. We got that sucker done in 2 weeks during the holidays, during COVID, during all the craziness that's happened. It was beautiful. That's one of the reasons why I'm so proud to be able to talk to Shelby every week and talk to you guys every day about what Shelby and everybody over at United Wholesale Lending does at refinancewithshelby.com. Good morning, Shelby. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
It's good to be back, dude. Just got back from a hurricane in Mexico and all the stuff that went down there. We got the fires up here. But in the middle of that, people are concentrating, obviously, on their finances, on their equity. A lot of equity going around, a lot of purchases. I see the purchase market is still crazy. What's going on over there in your neck of the woods this week?
Well, interest rates have held low. So that's great news. We're seeing a lot of refinances for cash out and for people to remove their monthly mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. So right now, still a great opportunity to capitalize on these low rates.
That's what I did with you. I had mortgage insurance from when I bought my house in 2016, and it was something like, God, it was like $200-$300 a month, something crazy like that. It might have been $400. And then I know you do a bunch of loans, but you'll remember it wasn't a cookie cutter loan. We had to. We wanted to take the mortgage insurance off, but I also wanted to take cash out, lower my rate, and I wanted to be able to pay off a lot of credit card debt and stuff like that. I've said on the air before, I saved a little over $700 a month between the mortgage insurance and the stuff we paid off. And then one thing I've noticed too, Shelby, since we finished this thing over the holidays, is my credit score was fine, but boom, it shoots right up. And I imagine you're doing the same thing for a lot of other people as well.
Absolutely. It's not uncommon for us to see savings of $500, $700, even $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with rates this low as well, also a lot of people are holding that equity in their homes. They're struggling on paying credit cards that are, 18, 20, 25% on all this high interest stuff when they have the money just sitting there at whatever it is, 2, 3%, and you can help them take that money out of their homes, put it to work to lower their payments, pay off all that stuff, and that's a pretty good financial decision.
You're exactly right, and that's what a lot of people are doing right now.
Okay, so they go to refinancewithshelby.com, and you were one of your friendly staff members I had the opportunity to speak to so many times. Same old thing, right? Takes a call, can pre-approve in under 15 minutes over the phone without even running credit. I assume everything's still the same, and you guys are just, whether it's doing the refinances, and oh, by the way, purchase loans still closing somewhere in 17 days or less, better than, in many cases, cash offers, right? You're still helping those people beat those cash offers from the Bay Area?
Exactly. Still beating them out.
All right. Well, good, good, good. Always appreciate you checking in with us, Shelby. That's refinancewithshelby.com. That is refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051, BRE number 01864354. Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. A lot of stuff to get to in this segment. I don't even know if we'll have time for halftime. We're going to have a lot of stuff to get to. Ben Simmons, we'll talk about that at 8:05. When we get back, though, not only do I want to talk about the last few days when I was gone and everything that's gone on both here and where I was at, but also the Kings community lost one of their own while I was away as well. I haven't had a chance to talk about it here. I'll explain what I mean next.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHTK.
Welcome back. Who else was at that concert you went to? Vanilla Ice?
All for One, which that was fun.
When you say that, is that facetious?
Yes. Rob Bass and...
Did he do It Takes Two?
Why wouldn't he?
I mean, because where's DJ Easy Rock?
He's not alive.
Is that true?
That is true.
Oh, RIP DJ Easy Rock.
And who was the... Why am I blanking? Oh,
Color Me Bad. Did they do I Adore Mia Moore?
That's what they opened with.
Did they do I Want to Sex You Up?
They did.
How hilarious would that be if they didn't do that and they just said, hey, got some new stuff we want you to check out. The line nobody ever wants to hear at these shows.
Yeah, especially from a group, band, or artist that might have two hits.
Yeah.
The absolute last thing you want to hear. It's like, no, you literally have two songs I'm here for, which is funny. So why I say, like, All for One is funny, right? They have two hits.
Be like extreme, not playing more than words.
Right. Mm. They have two hits. Then they do a couple, like, album cuts that about 14 people that are, like, actual All for One fans know. And then they do, like, a melody of, like, 90s hits that other people did.
Oh, just to keep people intrigued. Just to keep them interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a little tough when you're a one- or two-hit wonder to really fill, what, a half hour on stage?
Yeah, I mean, you have to start doing other people's hits.
A lot of talking, a lot of, how you doing?
Yes, a lot of talking, a lot of, hey, remember this in the 90s?
I'm always curious, so this was in Saratoga?
Saratoga.
Okay, so I'm always curious when they're in, like, random, like, Saratoga, or what is it up, not Marysville, what's where the big amphitheater is?
Oh, Wheatland?
Wheatland. It always kills me. Like when the big band comes and plays Wheatland, we're like, hey, Wheatland, how are you doing? It's like, no, dude, nobody's from Wheatland. How did they identify the city there? Do you remember?
Bay Area.
Okay.
Smart.
I mean, that's smart.
Well done.
That's well done. Northern California would
work. Yes.
Hey, Lincoln. Anytime there's one at Thunder Valley.
Yeah.
Lincoln, good to be back.
Dude, Lincoln, stand up. Where are my Lincoln heads at?
It's like four Lincolns.
They're things, Lincolns. Hey, look over in the corner. I see some Lincolns. They're dancing. Who let the Lincolns in? Hey, are the Rosevilles here too?
All right, let's stop laughing. Let's get to this.
Oh, I'm here.
Laughing because, you know, this is going to be there's a lot to cover here. Number one. Found this out while I was gone off of Facebook because, let me finish.
Okay, here. I was going to say, you started bad with saying Facebook.
Well, speaking of started, I really started in this business calling into the station, but I also was Dave and Carmichael/CarmichaelDave on a lot of the message boards. There was an old message board some of you old heads might remember. This is before the day of social media called Bleacher Mob. BleacherMob.com, run by a firefighter whose name on there was Fireplug. Dave Lack is somebody many of you might recognize, Kings fans on Twitter, who ran that with some other folks. And super awesome dude. And he was the guy that started that whole board with some friends. And there was Bleacher Mob, Kings Talk, and KingsFans.com. Those are the three boards that I used to go to and post. And whether I was calling on the air, if I wasn't calling on the air, then the only other place I could broadcast, talk with people was on these forums. I spent a lot of time on it, a lot of posts, a lot of great conversations. I've always said, it's one of the reasons why I still read the boards, and I still go to the Facebook groups. Now, listen, yeah, Facebook groups can be a little sometimes. I hear you, but I adore people that spend so much time on such a crappy team like I do for so long. It's out of love. We disagree with how to get there, but we all want to get to the same place with the Sacramento Kings. So I found out on, I think it was Friday, Thursday, that Christine Gillespie had passed away overnight. Her daughter Melanie had posted that on Facebook. Now, many of you may not know who Christine was, but you might know who VladiFan21 was, or VF21 as she was at KingsFan, where she was, they have several moderators, but she was the mama hen. Now, VF21 and I got into it many times over the years, and she got into it with many people over the years, as moderators will do from time to time. There were times where she was heavy-handed on moderating something that I wrote, and I was like, meh. But it was always done with care, and I could always tell where she was coming from, even if we didn't agree. And as the years went on, and my interaction with her started as really a teenager, and as I grew in what I was doing, she kind of morphed to me from the relationship we had to just such a fan. Such a fan of everything we do, everything I did, everything so many did in the fight for the team, and on and on and on. She would regularly post stories and links and different things and get the word out on Twitter and on KingsFans.com. And she lived up in the hills. She was always fond of saying, surrounded by trees in the middle of nowhere. It sucks because I really, truly, one of these days wanted to just go up and have lunch with her. And I always remembered where I always wanted to know where she was all those times she was online. Was there a special room, chair? How did she stay comfortable? Was she on a dial up screen? I always tried to picture in my head her moderating and being online because she was on a lot. She passed away. How, when, what, why, age, I don't know the specifics. I do know through her daughter she passed. And I just, you know, so much of the Kings fan fabric, and we'll get into this at 8:05, comes from not from dumb radio hosts or TV people or even players and coaches. They all come and go. But it is the message boards. It is the Reddits. It is the Facebook groups. It is the fans at the games. There's just different degrees of being a fan that you can expose yourself to should you wish. You can be as deep or as shallow, and I don't mean that in a bad way, a fan as you want. And Christine was a deep, deep, deep embedded fan of this team. And anytime the fan base loses one of their own, especially somebody like her, I think it should be acknowledged. So rest in peace, Christine. And thank you for slapping my hand as many times as you did. And also thanks for being an unwavering supporter of the Sacramento Kings. So, I just got back last night. We'll just blow through this. I knew we would. We left on, what was it, Thursday, Jay. We got down there, and I'm just going to run you real quick through how everything went. I woke up, many of you know I suffer from migraine headaches. And a lot of times I have to make a call. If I take my migraine medication, there are side effects that give me a very foggy head. So I only take it as a last resort. I woke up that morning. I didn't get a lot of sleep. We flew out at 6:30 in the morning. It was in fact, I didn't even change my alarm. I got up the normal time I would for this show. And I had a headache. And I took an Excedrin, not a prescription, just an Excedrin. And it didn't go away. And as we were flying down to LA where our layover was, it got progressively worse, but I had packed my migraine medication in my checked bag, but the other bag, or in my checked bag. I didn't have access to it, and it was game over at that point. I just had to write it out. And let me tell you, anyone who does suffer from migraines knows that altitude and pressure don't help. So we get through the 4 hours of flying and layovering, six hours, and we arrive at the Puerto Vallarta airport. And FYI, Puerto Vallarta this time of year, which was my wife's idea, it's just about the worst time to go to Puerto Vallarta. We love that area. You are near the equator. It is tropical. It is hot. It is in the 90s every day. It is humid. I'm talking 80 to 90% humidity. You're in the jungle, no joke. We land. We hail a taxi. It's four of us, my brother, his wife, my wife, and myself for her birthday. We're staying in this case for the first time in a town, a little sleepy beach town called Mismaloya, which is about 45 minutes south of Puerto Vallarta. We're staying in a gorgeous Airbnb I booked back in March. The prices are amazing, blah, blah. We'll get to that some other time. I'll leave all the links on social media. About 10 minutes into the drive, I get a call that I didn't recognize on my phone. And it turned out it was Airbnb informing me that our place had been canceled. We're in a foreign country. It's hot as you know what.
And you have nowhere to stay.
My head is pounding. We have nowhere to stay. So I had the taxi driver pull over at the next place. I would say it was a bar slash restaurant, but boy, is that overstating it. We're in the middle of nowhere on the beach. It is hot and humid. Our luggage and bags are all in the sand. We're under an umbrella. And when I say it's a bar slash restaurant, let me just tell you, it's more like a wooden tent style place with some umbrellas and lawn chairs out front. And we did not know necessarily what we were. When, by the way, we were the only people there other than the employees.
It's a mom and pop shop that hasn't changed since 1908.
That is correct. I'm on the phone now with Airbnb desperately trying to find a place for the four of us to stay. Please keep in mind, my wife's birthday is 2 days from that day. There's a lot of pressure to make sure this is a fun weekend for her. It's sure. Her big birthday. She wasn't happy about it.
Don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up. So I'm trying to keep everybody calm and filter what I'm... there was a little bit of a mix-up. They're actually switching us to a better place. I'm just waiting for the call. Let's have a... You guys have a margarita. I'll be on the phone. That's how I'm presenting it to everybody else. To me, it's, oh my God, we have nowhere to stay. And I'm waiting on Raul from Airbnb, literally his name, to call me back because I need to find another place to stay for everybody. I need to find it now. And I feel like I'm going to die.
Right.
Important to the story is that our pets are staying at our friends' houses that we normally would travel with. They're watching the pets. My children are staying with my parents. I'm going to school, coming back home. While we're at this place waiting to see if we're going to have a place to stay, I get a call from my friend where the pets are. My wife, myself, and my son Mason had gone over there the night before to drop off the pets and say goodbye. She was calling to inform us that their oldest child had just tested positive for COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
The three of us had been exposed. Please understand, I'm in Mexico. We find this out. We don't have a place to stay. And all I can think about is the fact that, oh, my God, my son, who was just exposed to this, is staying with my elderly parents.
Right.
Who are vaccinated.
But immunocompromised.
But immunocompromised. There's nothing we can do. We are 100% stuck. I'm thinking everything's running through my head. At one point, I actually suggested to my dad to take my 13 and 12-year-old children back to our house and just leave them there. They'll be fine. They can't go to school anyways. We got to quarantine. And, of course, that wasn't happening. So thank God my mom's an RN. You know, they know what's up. Everybody quarantines at the house, and we're just waiting. We got to wait X amount of days to get everyone tested. In the meantime, it's, are you symptomatic? Are you? And by the way, we might have been exposed. Mm-hmm. So now we're we finally find a place. Airbnb was actually really good. It turned out to be a great place. We got there. That was Thursday. Friday, we're at the grocery store getting supplies. And we get a call from our same friend who had called to tell us that their son was positive. Gus hasn't eaten in 24 hours. He's been throwing up blood.
Jesus.
They just found it. They want to take him to the vet. He's lethargic. I'm like, yes, please. And I don't tell my wife. Because if I tell my wife on top of all this, she's already on DEFCON 5. Her 40th birthday is the next day. She's not happy about that. The kids, my parents, all the stress from the place. And now her dog might die because I don't know. Thank God our friend Shannon, she's so wonderful. She takes Gus to the vet. We're communicating. I'm communicating back and forth with the vet while hiding from my wife, yes?
I don't want to cut you off, but I know you have certain feelings towards Gus at times. What were your feelings towards Gus in the moment?
Gus ticks me off, and he's a ding-dong. But it's like it's one of those, he's a member of the family, right. And at that moment, that all goes out the window. I'm scared to
You're
death.
Treating him like the drunk uncle that you got to take care of, basically.
Right.
You can't stand him, but it's family. We got to do it.
Right.
Got it. Okay, Gus is the drunk uncle.
Long story short on that one, it turns out that Gus must have shockingly eaten something he wasn't supposed to in their backyard and was throwing it up. And it wasn't blood. It was the red coloring of the – apparently he loves fly traps because he ate another fly trap. I don't know how he got it. He jumped up and grabbed it.
So Gus just out there gussing.
Yeah.
Good looking, Gus. Appreciate it, bruh.
So after she spent 6 hours waiting in the vet's office while he had thermometers stuck in him and IV, x-rays, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, bottom line is he was fine. He went home. A crisis averted. Saturday comes. And with Saturday comes a hurricane. Hurricane Nora hits Puerto Vallarta. And we at first were like, oh, well, this might be exciting. Some wind and rain, and we'll do what we got to do. Then we realized we were on the side of a hill in the jungle. A lot of mud, a lot of water, a lot of slides. It was when the wind broke the tree behind the house and we heard it crash onto power lines. And it's a sound I can only describe as a thunderclap, an oof, and something like a plane engine starting. Our power went out. The water is connected to the power. The water went out. We are in our place on a hill in Miss Maloya, Mexico, with winds gusting to 70 to 90 miles per hour, torrential rain, and a couple of candles. Which, by the way, the reason I found those candles is I'd bought a bunch of birthday candles for her birthday.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
So the hurricane hits on my wife's birthday. We actually ate dinner right before it hit as it was coming. It was all we could do. We just made dinner there. The hurricane hits. The rest of the trip, we had no power or no water, both. Until 2 hours before we left for the airport. So we were sweaty and sticky and no air conditioning. It was still very warm and hot there. It was not comfortable. I say all this because then we went into town the next day. And about half the town was still going and doing things. The other half had been either really screwed up or destroyed. A major bridge collapsed. There was a kid visiting from, I forget where he was visiting from, that was washed away. Businesses, you know, not everybody has homeowners and business insurance there. So between sandbags and sweeping, you know, you go in there and you go from, hey, let's see what's going on here. Hey, let's buy some things and try to put some money in the economy and do what we can to, oh, I'll hand you this, I'll hand you that, what can I do? You know, handing out waters, doing what you can and trying not to get in the way, but realizing that everything that went down there, as bad as it was, by the way, everybody tested negative. Quarantine was a success. We tested yesterday before we got on the plane. My son, everybody, everyone's fine. Mm-hmm. Everyone's fine. Thank God. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit ticked off at myself for even putting anyone in that spot to begin with. Even though it was out of my control, it wasn't really. And then you hear about what's going on in Tahoe and the Caldor Fire. And there's a text that came in while I was telling the story. A lot of texts. They're actually very, very nice. But this one caught my eye. Dave, the story is just proving you're cursed. I disagree. I think that that was an unbelievably blessed experience. The amount of things that went wrong or could have gone wrong, and the amount of things that stayed wrong, that didn't happen. We found the place. The dog was fine. Nobody got COVID. And oh, by the way, we're not still there picking up the pieces from the hurricane that destroyed our home and our family. And as I started reading more and more and more about what was going on here, listen, we're no strangers to charity and community involvement here. That's one of the biggest reasons I've always wanted to stay in this town and work at the station. It's local. We can do things. And we've done it. We've done it with COVID. We've done it with the fires in Paradise. We've done it with food for seniors. But it doesn't matter. There's no limitation. The amount of thankfulness I have in me right now and appreciation for what we have and the stupid, minuscule, idiotic, dumb problems that I deal with and that we deal with on a regular basis. I came home last night about 8 o'clock. My car was in the driveway. And as we parked my wife's car that we had parked at the airport, I got out of her car and I looked at my car. It's a black car. And I ran my finger down the hood because it wasn't a black car when I got in the driveway. It was a gray car because it was covered in ash. And I looked at my finger and I looked at the blackish gray ash on my finger. And I went, you know, every single ash on this car is somebody's house. It's somebody's memories. It's somebody's dreams. So in the coming days, and I've already been talking to several people on the ground here while I was gone, we are going to once again ask those of you that can, if you cannot, I get it, it's tough, but those of you that can, whether it be through gift cards, donations, school supplies, whatever we can do, we are going to once again ask everybody to mount up and pull up your sleeves, because we have neighbors and we have friends and we have people listening to this station right now that need help. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here with any of you that have any way, shape, or form that you can roll up your sleeves and help so that we can just put a tiny, minuscule dent in what everyone's going through. So we'll start that tomorrow. We'll start getting you details. We'll start having people on the show, but it's time to get busy. These people need help. Our communities are burning, and we are here for you in more than just thoughts and prayers, which are important, but we also need actions. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. That was a heavy set. Let's get to Ben Simmons next. And we can argue and scream at each other and go back to normal.
Yay.
Ben Simmons.
Exciting.
To the Sacramento Kings. Okay, but you're going to have to make some tough decisions. We'll get into that next.